Open up your Bible, it's 1 Corinthians, we'll be in chapter 11. Title of today's message is Customs of Church Worship. Customs. We need to understand too, again, as I repeat this, this is a letter written to the church in Corinth, and it's in response to the letter written that the Apostle Paul here is answering questions that the church had asked him, which is good. Certain situations had arisen in the church at Corinth. Today, as we go through our scriptures and we look at this, we're dealing with customs and worship in the church. And I think that this has been at times a problem throughout church history, because things change all the time. Cultures change, customs change, traditions change. Think back, well, for those that are like me, post 40, going to church, everybody, men wore suits and ties, ladies were dressed up really nice. And then think about the Jesus movement of the 1960s and into the 70s. Men, women were coming in barefoot. If you call the hippie era was full on. The main thing we have to understand is getting the gospel. All that stuff on the outside is on the outside. God's concerned with the heart and what's in the heart, and not concerned about what we wear or how we dress. But Paul's answering this question, and I hope I can relate it to today's times. Because I was thinking really hard about, I remember in the 60s and 70s, and a pastor who I admire, and I listen to his teachings a lot, is Greg Laurie out of Harvest. And I remember going to Greg Laurie's church. I'm thinking it was 73, it could have been 1974, and getting in there and going, wow, that pastor's got long hair. Going, that's interesting. Now Greg's going, I wish I had more hair, and I know what he's talking about there, by all means. But customs and traditions always seem to change, and they'll continue to change. But godly principles remain. And that's what we need to understand. So let's read the scriptures we're looking at today. We're in chapter 11, starting verse 2. Now I commend you, because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions, even as I've delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband. The head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covers dishonors his head. But every wife who prays or prophesies with her head covered dishonors her head, since it is the same as if her head were shaven. For if a wife will not cover her head, then she should cut her hair short. But since it is disgraceful for a wife to cut off her hair or shave her head, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. For man was made not made from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as a woman was made from man, so man now is born of woman. And all things are from God. Judge for yourself. Is it proper for a wife to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not nature itself teach that if man wears long hair, it is a disgrace for him? But if a woman has long hair, it is her glory, for her hair is given to her for a covering. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such patience or practice, nor do the churches of God. A lot said there. So as this opens up, Paul's telling the church to remember what he'd already told them. And on church order and worship. How things were to be orderly and how to worship that. And they needed reminding again, the church did. Just like, and I got thinking, how much we need to be reminded continuously. That's why reading the scriptures daily is really good, because we need to be reminded all the time what God says. And if you say you read the whole Bible and that's it, I'm good to go, you'll forget. I'll read scriptures. One of the ones that catches me all the time is the book of Proverbs. How many times I sat there and go, oh, I didn't see that. I didn't know that. If you've read through Proverbs, you're going, all the things listed out there. So we need to be constantly refreshing our memories. Refreshing our memories, excuse me, on this. So sometimes if we're not refreshing our memory, like Paul's telling the church to do here, we could start to slide on some things. Some things you're not sure. And I think that has happened a lot in the church. When the churches start going away from preaching the Word of God, things start to slide away. Because we need to constantly hear, it doesn't matter what I think, it matters what God says. Whatever He says, we go by. So Paul opens this up and he says, okay, maintain the traditions. Maintain the traditions. Most traditions, and you got to think about this. This ties into where you need to be constantly reading and studying the Word of God, because most traditions are passed down by the mouth. I'll tell the tradition of this, this, this. Have you ever done that where you're in a circle with a bunch of people? I tell the secret, it goes all the way around, doesn't have anything to do. Okay, that's what can happen. That's why we keep going back here. But it says this. And we need to stand on that. We have a particular situation that's going on here in Corinth that this section of the scriptures is dealing with. And I think we can always apply this teaching to every generation in principle as we look at that. And so I think that's what Paul is directing us to do and being in that way. He says, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband. And the head of Christ is God. Right there, a lot of people in the world, wait a minute. We go by what God says. So hopefully I can clarify that up. There is an order in the universe that God has set up. The head here, when he talks about the head, it is authority. Authority. Christ has the authority over man. Period. And God ordained that. Okay, so it's an order that God ordained, and we have that. Now, the next area, this is where people can go with that. Yeah, Christ is the head over all men. Yeah, I can do it. This next area is where it's a little sensitive. And people go off the deep end here. But stay with me. The head of the woman, Scripture says, is man. Understand this clearly in Scriptures. Neither man nor woman is superior to the other. At all. Man is not superior to woman. Woman is not superior to man. And why do I say this? Because the relationship between a man and a woman came from God. And God's how that God views it. You're an equal partner. Though the man and the woman are different, we all understand that. Now in today's world, tell you how upside it is, they're trying to get all this changing back and forth and nobody knows nothing and what have you. God's pretty clear on this. But one thing that God does see is man or woman, he sees as one in Christ. That's That's why I say there's not one above the other, better than the other, superior in any way. He sees them. Put it for me, Galatians 3:28, please. There is neither Jew nor Greek. So the Jews aren't better than the Gentiles, us, or we're better than them. There is neither slave nor free. So whether you're a slave or you're a free person, there is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And that's where we need to understand. We're one in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus did that, and he brought that on. When God says man is the head of the woman, he's not talking about that the man has more ability than the woman. No. He's not talking that the man is smarter than the woman. Not at all. Not at all. It's all about order and how the order functions. And that's what God did, and that's how he set it up. In God's order, there is partnerships. And partnerships has a head, has a final authority. So Christ is the head of man and woman. And God the Father is the head of whom Christ worked under. Worked under. Christ, the Son, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all God. But Christ took on the form of a servant, took on the form of man. And it's to show that relationship. Look at Philippians 2. Have the mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count it equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So we have a partnership. Neither one is superior in abilities, minds, any of that. It's equal. And it's understanding that I think that we have to really focus on and getting a complete grasp of that, because it's not about, well, you're going to do as I say. No, it's you can't go by that. Now, verses 4 through 6, if you read that and it talks about that, and I'll read it again because it can get kind of confusing a little bit here. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covers dishonors his head. But every wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, since it is the same as her head was shaven. For if wife will not cover her head, then she should cut her hair short. But since it's disgraceful for a wife to cut off her hair, shave her head, let her cover her head. Customs, traditions. We need to understand that. Whether today women can have short hair, long hair, men can have short hair, long hair, it's not thought of. And I think what that came about was really important is because, think back, there were times where when, and I remember this, as a little bitty guy going to church, you know, polish your shoes, put the suit on, do all that. It was that outward appearance. And we have to understand that God's concerned about the heart. It's about the heart and not so much what we're looking at here. And we look at this section that we're reading, the point is not to dishonor anyone. We're not to dishonor anybody. It's that outward appearance, but there are things that we need to pay attention to. How a person dresses. Now, the way some men could dress could dishonor God. You know, if a man come walking in here dressed like a woman, you're dishonoring God. That's not the way. And the way women dress could dishonor their husbands. And I think that's what's important in both aspects. We're to honor God, truly. And how we dress, and I'd say we need to all dress modestly. The custom here at this time in the church, the custom at that time was man was to worship God with his head not covered. Because man could now face God face to face through Christ. And they had that of dishonor. And I think that's what we need to understand when I was saying that God was revealing to me in the morning. Do you realize how blessed we are that because of Jesus Christ, we can come right before God? You don't need me to come before God. You go right before Him yourself. It is a personal relationship. It is not that you have to come and say, well, I need you to pray for me about this. And I say, well, let's pray together. You pray. No, that's wrong. You have access right to God as a believer. Yes, I can pray for you, or we can help you pray, or whatever the case, but you have that access to God. That is a privileged honor. Truly it is. I think that's a tremendous, and God was emphasizing that to me this morning. What an honor that is. You think about, when you think about the Jews in the Old Testament, once a year, the high priest, not all the priests, the high priest got to go in the Holy of Holies once a year to stand before God. Well, here we are. You can go in, any of you, as a believer through Christ and go before God. That's an honor. That's a privilege. And why is that? Because of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ. And I think because of Jesus Christ, we have that distinguishing mark. We're a believer. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We are a believer. And that's where a sign of authority there. Yeah, we're a believer. Christ is it. Even the today, I was thinking about hats. Even today, the customer moving your hat to pray is still there. It's still very much there. You know, even if you were to go anywhere and they say, let's pray, hey, remove your hats. That's a pretty common practice as it was back then. So it's been something that's held for a very, very long time. And so customs and traditions and all that can happen. So then if a man covers his head during prayer at this time, if a man covers his head with a hat or whatever in prayer or in time of worship, it was a sign of rebellion. You may see that today. Hey, we're going to pray. Let's remove our hats. There may be people that won't remove their hat. They're going to rebel. They're going to rebel against things. Okay. Then they do that. But I want us to understand that God didn't save man to rebel so believers could rebel and change in the customs to whatever, but he did it to help believers and to save man. And he's gifted us with the greatest gift of all. We're to share his message of love, redemption, and salvation to all men. And I think that's what is important as we do that. It's what's in the heart. And this is on customs, and it seems to be a lot of outward appearance, but it's the heart. It truly is the heart. Now, a woman can dishonor her husband by the way she dresses. You know, it can happen. Provocative dress could cause problems. In fact, I remember a pastor friend of mine, he was telling me that a gal came in and sat in the front row and was dressed extremely. And he goes, man, I felt so odd going up there. And he said, all of a sudden I noticed my wife went over and put a shawl around her. I thought, oh, that's good. That's a good thing. You know, and it was sort of like, I thought you were a little cool, so I thought you needed to have a shawl on to warm up. And he was like, oh, I'm so thankful she did that, because that can be a dishonor or distraction by all, of course. Back then, understand, customs are different, and that's why I say we try to tie it into today's dress. Women would wear a veil that went from just under their eyes all the way to the ground, to the arms, veil. And whether they had clothes underneath or not, I don't know. But if a woman was without a veil at all, she was considered loose morals. And she exposed portions of the body that would attract attention. And so Paul is saying, hey, as believers, we're not to do that. We're not to do that. Christian women and men should dress modestly, I should say. And we're not to draw attention to ourselves by way we dress. And that's why I think, too, is how you dress, makeup, guys the same, whatever. We're not to bring attention because of that. And I think it's important. And that's what Paul is sharing here. Put it for me, Romans 6:13, though, please. Do not present your members to serve as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. So I think Scripture pretty much spells it out there. Verses 7 through 10. For a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man was not made from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, women is not... I went on to the next one. Sorry about that. Anyway... Here Paul goes into the order of creation, how man and things were created. Man was created in the image of God and was given authority over the earth. If you go back and read Genesis, the guy was given, man, Adam, you have authority over earth, everything. And man is to act and to speak in a way that honors God. How he handles that authority, how he does that, it is always in a way to honor God. A woman has her place in creation by all means. She was created from the side, the rib, and she is the glory of man. But what people don't understand, I think things get a lot twisted here in today's society, her place is by the side of the man, not in front. Not in back. Right here. And she reigns by the side of man in his glory. It's a partnership. It's an equal partnership. In God's order, man is to rule and the woman is to rule by his side. It is a partnership, and that's how God ordained it. And like I say, it doesn't have anything to do, well, I'm smarter than you, or you're smarter than me, I have more ability. It has nothing to do with that at all. And in fact, most relationships, one of them may be stronger at some things than the other. And so you kind of do that. I can tell an embarrassing story about myself where I thought something about checkbook, and I was going, excuse me, and Cindy always handled the checkbook. So I don't know what happened, but I'll take care of the checkbook. Just let me take care of it. 2 weeks later, I had a problem. It was a mess. But I didn't say it. And Cindy goes, do you want me to take over? Okay, now you do good. I handed her the checkbook and thinking, oh, Greg. I don't like checkbooks. There's something about it. I don't know. But anyway, there are things where in each one strong and maybe weak in something else, and you reign together, you rule together. It's a partnership. And we think about, and God had went through this, God created woman from man's rib, right out of the side. And she was to be his companion companion. Together, they're to be together and be that companion. Now, she is to respect his authority and not to dishonor her husband by the way she dresses or acts. And that's a way it has to happen. Now, Scripture's clear on directions for husbands and wives, and I just brought out a few of them for you, just a couple of them. Put up Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Well, guys, guess what? We're going to fail at that. Scripture always tells the men, love your wife. It doesn't say in there, wives, love your husband. It doesn't say that. Wives have that natural ability, I think, women to love more than men. So God has to hit us and say, love your wives. Like Christ. Christ got off his throne, came down, didn't have a house, didn't have a car, gave up everything for the church. Think about it. He was whipped and beaten for the church. He was nailed to a cross for the church. He died for the church. So guess what husbands are to do? Oh, we're to go to work every day. No, nope. We're to follow that. That's why I say, guys, sometimes we feel like we fail. Yeah, we do that. Look at 1 Peter 3:1-2. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word. Say your husband doesn't obey the word. They may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Oh, there you go. You want to win your husband to Christ? God's saying, there it is. You don't even have to speak a word. Pretty cool. But I say again, the scripture doesn't say, wives, you got to love your husband. So that's a natural thing. It seems like women have that natural ability more than a man to love like that. And I think that's seen here. Cultures, traditions, let's follow what Scripture says. Now, he does say, nevertheless, in the Lord is not independent of man nor man of woman. We're not independent from each other. It just isn't there. Man and women are equal in the Lord and mutually dependent on the Lord. We're equal. And all things are of God. With the husband, the wife, man, woman, it's the same thing. All things are of God. Put up for me Ephesians 5:33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Again, for whatever reason, I got to tell God, he forgot to leave that wives love their husband part. No. Wives are respect. Guys, back again, love as Christ loved the church. That's a tall order, guys. That's a really tall order. But it's something to strive for continually. Now, verses 13 through 15, it does say here, judge for yourselves, is it proper for a wife to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not nature itself teach that if a man wears long hair, it's a disgrace for him? But if a woman has long hair, it is for her glory, for her hair is given as covering. This goes back to the customs and traditions of that particular time frame. I think Paul's telling us of this time frame, use common sense. What's right? What's honorable? What honors God in how we do things? What blesses God? I think that a woman should think about her relationship with her husband and God. What's best? What's how to honor, how to glorify God? When it comes to man and long hair, I got to thinking about this because I know so many guys, tremendous preachers that had long hair, guys that had long hair, I mean through that era, Is this a major faction that we need to focus on? I don't think so. In today's society, where you got long hair, short hair, even today's society, now, it, like most of us, when I grew up, you guys were probably in that same era. Blue hair, red hair, spiked hair. It wasn't around, was it? None of that was. Or half your head shaved, half isn't. All that is what? Outward appearance. That's all it is, outward appearance. And I think about it, I have grandsons that are in high school now. And you know what was really cool when I was in high school? Wow, that's dorky, Grandpa. And I'll go, well, it was cool back then. Things change, but it's the heart. The heart. But we don't want to do things that would dishonor God or in any way in that faction. But I do know as men, we have been given authority to do the work that God has called us to do as believers, men. And even as women, we've all been called to do one thing and you're commissioned to do it. Matthew 28, you guys know the scriptures, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So what that says is we're all called to do that. Now that's five. There's five key points there. Five key points. First thing he says, go. Don't sit back on our haunches. Go share the gospel. That could be at the Staters. That could be at the, not Burger King. They're not too good. But any restaurants, wherever you happen to go, whatever you happen to do, you're to go and share the gospel wherever you're at. What's it say then? Make disciples. Make disciples. That is not doing what I'm talking about, just actually conversion. It's discipling them to become believers, strong believers. Then what's it say? Baptize them. Get them saved, get them baptized. It's a command Jesus followed the same way getting baptized. Then it says to teach them. Teach them. Teach them the scriptures. Teach them to walk with Christ. Walk with them, teaching them as they're growing in Christ. And observe all that I've commanded. As you're teaching them the scriptures, then you're going to observe the commandments given. How we're to walk, how we're to do these things. 5 points there. It's really important, too, that we'd follow. And when Jesus said that, that's not a if you have time suggestion. That's not a, well, you know, I know you work a lot, so maybe you can do it on. It's all the time. Okay? The last verse here, it says, if anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. Are we to worry or argue about customs? No. Are we to worry about the small things? No. And God showed me this. I was with Cindy and I were with a gentleman here a couple of weeks ago, I guess. And their church belief is they don't eat red meat. And they have certain restrictions on what they can do and all that. And God brought to my attention, there are things like this. Paul, and we discussed it in Corinthians a couple of chapters back. What you eat doesn't matter, right? Are we to eat something that could offend somebody? Or we to, no, that's an open hand. How you do church government? How you do communion? Is it once a month? Is it once a week? Is it every quarter? There are things like this. It's whatever. What's going to happen in a millennial? I don't know. I'm going to be with Jesus. I really don't care what happens in a millennial. I'm with Jesus. Then there are things here you hold tight, you hold dear, you stand on. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. His blood cleanses us from all our sins. And salvation is only in Jesus Christ. Period. That you don't let go. All the other stuff, they got long hair, they got short hair. They're skinny, they're fat. Doesn't matter. That's all outward appearance stuff. And that's what this section I felt was on, customs of how we're viewing. You know, God says he looks at our heart. So as believers, we need to look at the person's heart. We need to ask God to cleanse our hearts and to help us help others. Like others-centered, as we know. We should conform to, there are going to be certain customs and Christian behavior and church order that should never falter, of course. But I think we're to carry out the ministry of God's church. By all means, we're to carry out the ministry. We are to share the gospel and to serve all for the sake of man's salvation. And we went over this just a few weeks ago, and I wanted to bring it back to your memory. There's one reason there. We're to share that gospel. We're to serve all for one reason. For the sake of that person's salvation. Put back up 1 Corinthians 10:24, please. It should be on. You don't have it? All right, I'll read it. You got your Bibles open, you can look and see. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. So what you eat, what you wear, how you dress, how they dress, how they eat, what they wear, what customs, what they like, doesn't matter. Let's reach them and get them to Christ. That's what matters. Because then God starts to work and is working on their hearts. And that's what's important. That's what's important. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I want to praise you and thank you for this time, Lord, to study your word. And Lord, this was one of a different setting. And I praise you that we get to look at it. Lord, change our hearts, Lord, where we don't look at the outside of a person, Lord. What they look like or dress or whatever, Lord, that we look at them as one thing. If they don't know you, we want to do what we can to bring them to you. And that must be our focus, Lord. We want to not look at the person to see the differences or whatever. We want to look at them to reach them with the gospel. Get them into your hands, Lord. Let us do our part, Lord. Our part is to share that gospel. And then let you do the conversion. That's the only way it works, Lord. We can't do the conversion. You do it. But if we're sharing the gospel, Lord, that's the blessing we have, Lord. We get to do that. It's an honor. So I ask, Lord, that you would just allow us to continue to worship you and praise you, to walk with you, Lord, all the days of our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The worship team would come forward, please.